And welcome into the inaugural Doug Russell podcast. I am the aforementioned Doug Russell. Thanks for joining us. And this is episode number one of this new podcast that I have been thinking about launching for a long time. People have been telling me, you should do a podcast. You should do a podcast. You should do a podcast. And they've been telling me that for years. Now I have the time to do it. In the past, I didn't necessarily have the time to do it, but I put it out there on social media a few weeks ago. How often should I do a podcast? How long should a podcast be? And the one thing about podcasting is, as I have found, there don't seem to be very many rules about doing podcasts. So we're just going to have some fun with this and we'll see where it goes. We've got a great show for you in episode number one. One of my former cohorts from WTMJ, the host of Brewers Extra Innings after Brewers games, Matt Pauly will join us coming up in just a few minutes. The Brewers getting into the playoffs, really backing into the playoffs after losing at St. Louis in their series finale. This is a team that's 29-31. And yet they're headed to Los Angeles. I guess they flew there on Sunday night, but so they're in Los Angeles. They'll take Monday off before a workout on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday night, that's when they'll play game one against the Los Angeles Dodgers in the wild card round of this crazy playoff season, this crazy sports season with cardboard cutout fans and an NBA season that on the calendar will last more than a calendar year. And we'll get to the NFL in a minute. The Packers with a huge win over the Saints last night on Sunday Night Football. We will definitely dive into that in just a couple of minutes as well. But just a quick couple of notes about the format of this podcast. We're going to post new original episodes on Mondays and Fridays. So what happened over the weekend, the Packers beating the Saints on Sunday Night Football, the Brewers getting into the playoffs, even though they lost to the Cardinals, another team that was a team that celebrated on the field with the Brewers, sort of, after yesterday's game, after Sunday's game. Recording this on Monday, if you couldn't already tell. So we're going to be posting on Mondays and then Fridays. And then in the midweek, we're going to do something different where it's really anything goes. And when I say anything goes, I mean anything goes. So I'm not necessarily promoting what we're doing on Wednesdays, because if you're here for the sports content, if you're here for what happened over the weekend, what's going to happen, our Friday shows, I would point you to Monday and Friday. If you want to hear some of, I don't know, maybe old interviews that I've done, maybe old feature stories that I've done over the years, maybe an entertainment report that's new, maybe an interview that doesn't have anything to do with sports at all, that's Wednesday. If you want to hang out on Wednesdays, if you want to down, I'd be grateful for it. I'm just telling you right now, don't complain about, well, why aren't you talking sports on Wednesday? It's because it's Wednesday. We're going to do that on Monday. We're going to do that on Friday. Wednesday's kind of this bonus episode where it's a catch-all bin. It's a free-for-all. This is a podcast, so I'm just going to say what my wife wants me to call it. She wants me to call it the Midweek Shit Show. I don't know if I'm going to actually wind up calling it that, but that's what Wednesdays are for. So sports on Monday, sports on Friday. I am publicizing sports on Monday, sports on Friday. If you want to join on Wednesday, I'd love it if you did. But if you don't, I get it. I understand, because it's going to literally be anything. Entertainment reports, old interviews, old feature stories, talks with my buddies down the street. It literally could be anything. And Wednesdays are going to be a lot looser. We're going to have a lot of fun on Wednesdays as well. But I'm just, again, fair warning on that. We're going to start each show with the news of the week, and the news in this case of the weekend. And there was plenty of it on Sunday. Now, normally on Monday mornings during football season, we'll be talking about the Packers and certainly the Badgers when they finally get onto the field as well. We'll be talking about their games on Monday, and we'll get to the Packers. Huge win last night on Sunday Night Football at New Orleans against the Saints, and we'll spend plenty of time on that. But the Brewers, for the third straight season, got to the playoffs. Now, if you would have said that back in February or March before COVID hit, you would have thought, great, everything that David Stearns did this past offseason, you didn't necessarily think it was going to work out, but it worked out because here they are. Well, yes and no, because even David Stearns said that, look, a lot of the things that he tried to do this past offseason did not work. And a lot of them didn't. The Brewers were one of the worst hitting teams in all of baseball this season. That having been said, they still did just enough to make it to the postseason. Now, at 29-31, losing record, baseball postseason, that doesn't necessarily jive. But again, this is where we're at in 2020. So after the game yesterday, now the Brewers lose to the Cardinals. The Cardinals then wind up celebrating because they clinched a playoff berth as well. The Brewers had to wait around because they needed help. They needed the Rays to beat the Phillies, and the Rays did that 5-0. And then they hung on for dear life as the Padres got in front of the Giants. San Francisco also had to lose as well. But the Padres got ahead 5-1. Now, this game was in San Francisco at Oracle Park. And then the Giants started chipping away and chipping away and chipping away at it. But in the ninth inning, the Padres came in, slammed the door, hung on for dear life for a 5-4 win. More importantly, though, for the Brewers, that gave them that final playoff berth in the National League. So they're the number 8 seed. They'll have to travel to Los Angeles to take on the top seeded Dodgers. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, when all was said and done, as far as David Stearns is concerned, this is a team that's still a playoff team.
Everyone adjusted, and we adjusted our protocols. Players adhered to those protocols, and that allowed us to complete a regular season. And look, we're not out of the woods yet as an industry. We've got another month where we have to be perfect. And I think everyone is invested in being perfect, but it's not easy. And we've got to be perfect for another month.
You know, I was talking about it just a couple of minutes ago. Some of the moves that David Stearns made this past offseason, yeah, they didn't pan out. And whether it was Omar Narvaez hitting below the Mendoza line, whether it was some of the pitchers that Stearns brought in to try to replace some of the guys that he had to let go because of some salary concerns, whether it was trying to replace Mike Moustakas in the everyday lineup, which didn't necessarily work out all that well. Look, David Stearns, give him credit for this. At least he owned it.
A lot didn't go right for us this year. A lot of the moves that I made last offseason didn't pan out the way I thought they were going to make, the way I thought they were going to pan out. But our team really hung together, overcame that, and now we get to play in our third postseason in a row on a national stage, and that's something to be really proud of.
Now, one of the things that did work out for the Brewers this season was the emergence and their patience with Corbin Burnes. Burnes coming through the system, he was one of those quote-unquote untouchable guys. He was one of the protected class, if you will, as far as Brewers minor leaguers, Brewers prospects. But when he got to the major leagues, to say that he had a rough start, that would be a bit of an understatement. But you want to talk about somebody who really did emerge this season. That was Corbin Burnes.
What Corbin did this year is a main reason why we get to keep playing. And so for him to not be able to participate as a starting pitcher in this postseason at the front end is hard to take for him in particular. But for us as an organization, he deserves to pitch game one of a playoff series, and he's not going to get that opportunity.
Brewers president of baseball operations, David Stearns. Now field manager Craig Counsell at the end of the day put it best.
We're in the playoffs. That's how you see it. There's no reason to apologize for getting in the playoffs. We beat the other teams and got the 8 spot, so we're in. And we got a chance. You got to get in. And so we got a chance to win the World Series still.
Still, the World Series has to go through the best team in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You know, we got ourselves a shot. We got to beat a good team twice. It's a really good team. It's the best team in baseball, but we only got to beat them twice. And that's very doable. We're going to have to play really well, but it's doable.
But that does lead to the question, what might his pitching rotation look like in the upcoming wild card series against LA?
We'll figure out the 3 games. We have to assess some injury status, and we'll do that on Tuesday. But, I mean, I think we're set for the first 2 games, really, and we'll go from there.
One of the big question marks this year was that of Christian Yelich and exactly what had happened with Yelly this year, hitting just over 200 after back-to-back batting titles in the National League. It's been a strange year for the Brewers. It's been a strange year for Yelly, but at the end of the day, the Brewers superstar says, look, we're in.
It's fitting for 2020 and everything that we went through, but you know, it felt just as good as past years. This year is a unique one. You know, there's so many challenges you had to deal with on a daily basis, you know, behind the scenes, that things that you don't deal with in a normal year. And, you know, it wasn't pretty the whole way. It wasn't pretty. We took a beating sometimes, had the up and downs, and we were able to find a way and sneak in.
Yelly does, though, think that a 3-game series benefits the underdog.
Hey, anybody can win a best-of-3 series. You know, the favorites from what they've done in the regular season, they're a great team, no doubt, and we've got a chance. We've had some good battles against each other here in the past. I think our teams are pretty familiar with each other, and we're going to go in there with our best effort and see what we can do.
So a rematch from the 2018 National League Championship Series, the Dodgers beating the Brewers in that one in seven games. LA would go on to lose the World Series to the Boston Red Sox in the Fall Classic. But nevertheless, Game 1 is coming up on Wednesday night. It is a 9 o'clock Central Time first pitch, so rest up. We move from baseball over to football. What a night for the Green Bay Packers. What a night for Alan Lazard.
You know, we can go back to how last year and the success that I had of just building off of that, building off of last year, building off of the same mindset, the same work ethic, the same attitude going into this season. We play a very violent game. You know, injuries are bound to happen. So it was only going to be not necessarily a matter of time, but I mean, I was just really just waiting for my opportunity to be able to step up today. And I think I did that pretty well.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly for Alan Lazard. 6 receptions, 146 yards, and a touchdown. The Packers without Devontae Adams. Now, the Saints were also without their top receiver in Michael Thomas, but nevertheless, as far as the Green Bay offense, Aaron Rodgers knew that they were going to have to score.
Anytime you're playing, a Drew Brees team, you got to score. He's such a dynamic player. You know, the two times we've played here before, felt like they put up 50 both times. I know they put up 52 in one of them, but so we knew the type of game. You know, they got a lot of playmakers, and Drew obviously knows how to deal the ball.
As for how Aaron feels about the offense right now?
We got in a good flow. I feel like, again, Matt, you know, had a really nice flow with the calls. We did a nice job, you know, on third down for the most part. And, you know, we're opportunistic with some big plays when we needed it. Got a lot of guys involved. You know, I think we had a number of guys catch passes. We had a number of guys who we needed to play well, played well.
Including the aforementioned Alan Lazard. Coach Matt LaFleur really happy with his young wide receiver.
Alan's been such a consistent performer for us, not only in the pass game, but in the run game as well. I mean, he's our enforcer. I've said it numerous times. He is a guy that just continues to make plays, and I'm so happy for him, because if you go back to last year, you know, the initial 53, he wasn't on it, and he's earned everything that he's gotten.
Including a game ball on offense. The game ball on defense has to go to Za'Darius Smith. The Packers and Saints were tied at 27 early in the fourth quarter. The Packers had just punted the ball back to New Orleans. They had good field position. Taysom Smith, he was in at quarterback in one of Sean Payton's wacky types of formations. Nevertheless, Za'Darius Smith came in and blew up the play that Sean Payton had called, forcing a fumble and then not only stripping on the sack, the football of Taysom Hill, but also then recovering the ball. That was the key play. It swung momentum back to Green Bay. Now, the Packers didn't score a touchdown, but they were able to get a field goal to go up 30-27 on that possession. The ensuing possession for New Orleans, Green Bay forces a three and out, and then when the Packers get the ball, they have a long, sustained drive that put the game in effect away and salting away a 37-30 victory. Now, the Saints wound up getting a field goal and they couldn't recover the onside kick. Nevertheless, it was the Za'Darius Smith forced fumble of Taysom Hill. That was the huge play on defense that swung everything in Green Bay's favor.
Z is consistently one of our best defensive players. I think he's one of the best defensive players in the league. He's a guy that you have to account for in every play. And if you don't, he can certainly cause problems for you. And thankfully, after, you know, we went for it on fourth down, didn't get it, he came up with the play of the game that really kind of swung it in our favor.
So the Packers improved to 3-0 on the season. Again, the final score 37-30 on Sunday Night Football in New Orleans. The Packers will be back in prime time next week, Monday Night Football, Lambeau Field, against the helpless, hapless, and reeling Atlanta Falcons. So is it a trap game? Should the Packers roll in this one? The Falcons are a wounded animal, or have they given up? There'll be lots to talk about later on in the week here on the Doug Russell Podcast. But time now for our story of the day. No, that is not the sound of construction. That, friends, is the sound of the Brewers backing into the playoffs despite losing yesterday to the Cardinals in St. Louis, who also clinched a playoff berth. So both teams celebrating on the same field at the same time, which was weird. But despite so much going wrong for the Brewers this season, an abbreviated, truncated 60-game season, nevertheless, they are in with a 29-31 record as the number 8 seed after both the Phillies and Giants also lost their respective games too. Joining us to make sense of it and the entire Brewers season for that matter is your postgame host on the Brewers flagship station WTMJ in Milwaukee. Matt Pauly joins us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Matt, I appreciate the time. You know, you listen to everyone after the game, whether it was Craig Counsell or Christian Yelich or Ryan Braun or David Stearns or anyone associated with the club. Okay, 29-31. That's not a great record, especially for a team that has raised the bar. I mean, again, this is the third straight year that they've been in the playoffs, but even at 29-31, a playoff berth is still a playoff berth, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's 2020 and they changed the rules and the Brewers did enough to get in. You know, literally the difference between them and the Giants is they had a slightly better divisional record than the Giants had, and that's the difference between them being in the playoffs or not being in the playoffs. I think Major League Baseball has to be somewhat happy about it because they get Christian Yelich, one of their stars, into the playoffs. The Brewers, I don't think, again, it's not like they could have said, hey, you know what, we're not 500 this year, so thank you for the invitation to the postseason, but we're going to go ahead and pass this year because we don't deserve it. The rules are the rules, and there is an accomplishment to it. This year, the accomplishment was if you were a top eight team, you were a postseason team. Well, they're a top eight team, so they're in the playoffs, and I don't think they have anything to apologize for.
Matt, there's going to be plenty of time for what went wrong with this team in the few minutes that you and I have today, but from when this season began in late July, and even if you want to go to early July when summer camp opened up at Miller Park, but to get to this point where, yes, they are in the postseason, certain things had to go right. In your mind, as somebody who saw up close and personal as much as possible with social distancing each and every game this season, what went right for the Brewers in 2020?
Yeah, so from a pitching standpoint, Corbin Burnes took just a ridiculous step forward and was going to be in the conversation for the Cy Young Award. He comes up one out short of being a minimum qualifier. Not that that technically stops anybody from being able to vote for him, but he's not going to show up on any of the list in terms of ERA leaders or, you know, any of those type things. So I think that really hurts him in terms of the Cy Young votes that he's going to get. But him taking a step forward and Brandon Woodruff being pretty good. Now he wasn't dominating all the time the way he was in his final start, but you could rely on those guys. And then outside of that, Doug, it was a good bullpen. It was Devin Williams doing his thing all season long, just being ridiculous, and them just kind of patching it all together. They finished below 500. They lost more games than they win. So let's not sit here and talk about all these things they did amazingly well, because really there weren't that things that they did all that well. They did a few things all right, and they had different contributors show up on different nights, and they did enough to win 29 games.
Let's talk about Devin Williams for a moment. And there's been a lot that's been written about him recently. Right before the trading deadline, there was some thought that maybe this was it for Josh Hader in a Brewers uniform. Is Devin Williams your 2021 closer? What's the plan for him?
Yeah, I think he gives you the opportunity to look, at some point in time, Josh Hader's probably going to price himself out of Milwaukee. And the bottom line is, he is worth more to other teams right now than he's going to be one game into next season, and then two games, and so on and so forth. Because what's going to make him so attractive to other teams is the club control that goes along with him. So what you're going to be able to get back for Josh Hader is going to essentially kind of go down on an every day of the season basis. So not that they're going to trade Josh Hader next year, but what Devin Williams' emergence does is, if David Stearns makes the decision that you're not going to hold on to Hader, and at this point he might be more valuable to the organization playing for another team because of what you're going to get back, you've got a guy right there in Williams who you can automatically put into that spot. Now, we all know the nature of relief pitching and how one guy can be great one year and not great the next year. It's one of the reasons Doug Melvin rarely ever committed to a relief pitcher for more than one year, because it can all go bad. Now, everything about Devin Williams says this guy, it's legit and he's going to be around. I mean, he can tell you, hey, I'm going to throw my changeup right now, and there's still a pretty good chance that you're not going to be able to hit it. That is a special pitch that he has. And then you go ahead and add a 97 mile per hour fastball that you can play off it. Like, those are things that don't just go away. But that being said, I just feel like Devin Williams' emergence. If Josh Hader's on the roster, Josh Hader's the closer, and they keep Williams doing what he's doing. But at some point in time, there are a lot of reasons why it would make sense for them to potentially move Hader and then move Williams into that ninth inning role.
Matt Pauly joining us from the Brewers flagship station, 620 WTMJ. He's the post-game host, Brewers Extra Innings. You can catch after each and every Brewers broadcast. In the starting rotation, Matt, we talked about Corbin Burnes taking that giant step forward, as you were talking about. Of course, Brandon Woodruff had a very good season as well. But one guy that at the beginning of the season that I was counting on to have a big year was Adrian Hauser, and it just didn't happen for him. In your best estimation, what went wrong with Hauser?
I don't think he attacked. And yeah, he pitched a little bit better than the numbers would indicate. Doug, you've watched sports long enough to know, like, there are guys, and it's not just a baseball thing, there are guys that their stat lines or maybe the eye test kind of passes, but then just for whatever reason, bad things seem to happen behind them, and you always try to figure out why. And it felt that way with Hauser. Like, he was the guy that the team would commit a bad error behind, or he was the guy that the infield single down the third base line would score a really important run. Like, all those things happened when he was on the mound. And in some ways, that's not his fault, but in some ways, if it keeps happening when the same guy's on the mound, then you try to figure out what's leading to this. And you can't really quantify this. And in baseball, everybody wants to quantify everything. But I look at Hauser, and I want to see a guy who's on the mound, wants the ball, wants to throw the ball, is in command of the game. And I don't get that from him consistently. And I feel like if he's being aggressive in the zone and just aggressive in his nature, then all of a sudden, a lot of those things that we just talked about are not going to be happening quite as often.
In that same vein, I think a lot of Brewers fans are asking the question about Christian Yelich. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, his resume speaks for itself. I mean, this is a guy who could have won back-to-back MVP awards. Cody Bellinger just edged him out last year, Yelly winning it in his first season in a Brewers uniform in 2018, back-to-back batting titles. But this year, he was barely over the Mendoza line. What went so horribly wrong for Yelly this season?
I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. And some of the things that I dismissed early on in the season, I've kind of circled back on. First off, the offense hasn't been good. He has had very little protection in the lineup, and the lack of protection in the lineup has reduced the number of fastballs that he is facing, and I think that's a big deal for him. He needs to face fastballs, and he has been getting more breaking and off-speed stuff as a result of it, so that's one thing. And with that, I think it's kind of changed his aggressiveness in the zone. He's not swinging quite as often. I think there's other things. I don't know if the knee is still bothering him or not. It could be. I don't think that's probably the one I'd put last on the list. I think he's impacted by the lack of fans and just the weirdness of the year. That includes the summer camp and everything that goes along with it. But if I have to like pinpoint one thing, I think I've come around to lack of protection in the lineup, resulting in less fastballs being thrown as like the main culprit, and then you throw everything else in there from this season, and it's just resulted in him not having a good year. The other day on Saturday night when they were on Fox, the Fox folks made a big deal about, you know, when he's hitting the ball, he's still hitting it at the velocity off the bat is still really good, and some of those numbers that you dive in a little bit on him are really good, but then his batting average on balls in play down compared to what it's been previously. So there's some bad luck that goes along with it too. Craig Counsell will tell you at the beginning of every season, hey, there's going to be a guy this year on the team that really takes a step forward, and there's going to be a guy who takes a step back for whatever reason, and it happens every year in baseball. And I think as much as we try to really dive in and figure out what's going on with him, I'm at a point where you put him in the lineup every day, you know that he's got the ability to lead you and carry you to a victory at any point in time. But if he doesn't, that's okay, and you just hope that he's able to turn it around next year.
But at least Yelly was getting on base. I mean, his on-base percentage, even though his batting average was below 210, his on-base percentage was still over 350. Not the case with Keston Hiura. Again, another batter right around the Mendoza line, at least as far as his batting average, but he didn't even get on base at a 300 clip. What went wrong with him?
Yeah, a sophomore slump, second-year guy, maybe same thing with the protection in the lineup not being there as much. I mean, that's a young guy who I think the league figured out how to pitch him a little bit, and now he's got to adjust back. We know that in Major League Baseball, it's all about adjustments. The league adjusts to you, you adjust to the league, and it's a constant dance. I don't think it's really great for a young hitter like him to be playing all the same teams over and over and over. Yeah, the NL Central got four teams into the postseason. The NL Central I thought it was going to be really good when the season got started, and then the records weren't very good, and I kind of backed off that, and now I'm coming back around saying, well, it was good, because look at all these teams that, you know, they just beat each other up all season long. But when you face somebody over and over and over and have a really good book on them, that's probably not great for a hitter who's still in development mode.
Matt Pauly from the Brewers flagship station, 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee. He's your post-game host on Brewers Extra Innings. He joins us here on the inaugural Doug Russell podcast. Matt, one of the great laments of the 2020 baseball season is that I did not get a chance to get out to Miller Park and experience any of these games in person. You were there for all of the home games. What kind of experience was that like as a member of the media? A completely different experience, I can only imagine, but what did you go through? What was that experience like for you and your colleagues?
Yeah, it was really strange. And Doug, let me preface what I'm about to say, because there's people listening to this podcast who would have just, you know, given anything for the opportunity to walk into Miller Park and watch Major League Baseball live. And it's not lost on me that I was really one of not that many people across the entire United States of America that was watching Major League Baseball in the ballpark on a very consistent basis, as I was at every home game this year. So that's not lost on me, and I appreciate it. So I want to make that really, really clear. It wasn't especially fun, and the season started with the team on the road. So when the team was on the road, I was watching the game on TV. I was listening to it a little bit through the radio broadcast. There was actually times where I would close my eyes and listen to the radio broadcast because they did such a good job with the crowd noise. You couldn't tell a difference generally, not 100% of the time, but like 90% of the time on TV. You could see there was no fans in the stands, but the game still kind of felt the same. And then they came home, and I was struck by the lack of intensity inside the game. I'll forever remember opening day when they're going through the opening day festivities, and I'm watching on the big video screen, and so many of the guys had a look on their face of, why are we doing this? There's nobody. Let's just play baseball. There's nobody in the stands. Why are we doing team introductions for nobody? And I thought the intensity was down, and I thought the game was played different. And I didn't get that when watching it on TV. I got that when I was in the stadium. I didn't think that changed until the final homestand, when they played against, it wasn't even that Cubs series where that wrapped up with them getting no hit by Alec Mills. It was that St. Louis series. That St. Louis series felt like Major League Baseball to me, and even the Kansas City series, but a little bit lesser extent. But that St. Louis series felt as close to normal as anything can feel. It wasn't as much fun. I sat in a room alone, basically. A lot of the writers sat in the main press area, but where I do the post-game show from, there's a booth, and there was social distancing out in the main press area, and there weren't as many people there. So I sat in the booth, essentially. It was me and down a low level where I really couldn't talk to him very much, the guy who operates the clock that is run during the game. So there wasn't a lot of talking. Like the guys who I'm really good friends with, like Craig Kishon and Jerry Augustine, who I would spend time with during the game because they do pre and post, so they're not busy during the game. They were in the studio during home games. They weren't at the ballpark, so like my friends weren't there. It was it was just weird, and it wasn't as much fun. I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I experienced it, but it was a lonely experience, and it opened my eyes on just how different the game is played when fans are not in the stands. That was a really long answer, Doug. I'm sorry.
It's all right. This is a podcast, my man. No worries about anything. I'm not a slave to the clock anymore, as they say. Speaking of the clock never stops for professional athletes. Ryan Braun, everything that we have been told over the course of the last week or so, it seems as though this is it. Obviously, this is the last year of the contract, that $100 million plus contract that he signed after he won the MVP award in 2011. Do you think that this is it, though, for Ryan? Because all indications that I've heard, at least from the team over the last several days, seems to be, yeah, this is kind of it for him.
Yeah, so before he spoke on the final home game of the season, like he always does, or after the final home game, I thought he's back next year. And now I'm 50-50 on it. The DH is probably sticking around. That's good for him. But I just listening to him, I heard a guy who was very much at peace with the idea that this could be it. And I think when he says he wants to wait, I believe him. He wants to see what things are going to look like. If we don't get a vaccine and if we continue to have the exact same issues in this country that we're having right now, and you go into next season and it's very much the same, or it's really limited fans and you're going on the road and you're not allowed to be out of your hotel room, you know, he's sitting there away from his family. So what, he can sit in a hotel room in Cincinnati and just look out the window for 9 hours before the first bus finally leaves and he gets to go to the ballpark? You know, he's accomplished everything that he needs to accomplish. So I think that's going to play a big role in it. His health is clearly going to play a big role. How quickly does he start to feel better after these issues that he's had down the stretch? So I really changed my tune on this after listening to him speak after that last home game, because if he doesn't come back next year, I think he is ready for that. That doesn't mean he's not going to, and I have no doubt in my mind that if he decides he wants to be back next year, they'll find a number to make it work. I think that's an easy thing to make happen. But him being back, I'm not giving you an answer except to say I used to think he really was going to be back next year, and now I'm not really sure.
Well, we don't know if he's going to be back next year, but we do know that at least he'll be playing. If this is it for him, his final games will be in his hometown of Los Angeles. But the Dodgers, man alive, they were awfully good this year. What, 43-17 during the regular season for LA? They seem to be stacked. In your opinion, is it worth even previewing this LA series?
Yeah. So if you were going to play the Dodgers, play them in a three-game series, because baseball could be so random. That's why baseball is played in series, and that's why when you get into the postseason, especially deep into the postseason, why you're playing seven-game series, because an actual one single baseball game is an incredibly random occurrence. So if you're not going to be able to play them in a one-game series, we'll go play them in a three-game series. And I think this isn't an original thought by me by any stretch of the mind, but the pathway to beating the Dodgers is stealing a game and then having Brandon Woodruff pitch you to victory in the other one. And if they go with, like, Brent Suter in game one in a bullpen game, which seems to be the thing that would make the most sense, at least for me, Craig Counsell has not given me a call to ask my opinion on what he should do from a pitching standpoint. I don't expect that phone call, but if he did, I would say Brent Suter in bullpen game in game number one, Brandon Woodruff in game number two, and figure out what the heck you're going to do in game number three if you get there. But to me, it's clear that the path to come up with a stealing the series is that steal game one and then win game two with Woodruff. And maybe Kershaw is going to go in game one. And we know that Kershaw can be good in the postseason, but he can also be not so good in the postseason. So with Kershaw on the mound, maybe he's the guy that you steal the game from. So I would not like the Brewers at all in an extended series against the Dodgers, but in a three games, yeah, they got a puncher shot.
Yeah, just let Woody hit against Kershaw again, right? Matt Pauly joins us here from WTMJ Radio. He is your post-game host. Also has a podcast, BEI The Podcast, as well. Matt, tell us where we can find you.
Yeah, Brewers Extra Innings, the podcast as well, WTMJ.com, Apple Podcast, coming your way after all the games. The game one of the series is scheduled to start at 9 o'clock, so maybe I'll be going to like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll meet up with Gene Miller at the end of the program.
Well, if you see Gene, please tell him I say hello. There he goes, Matt Pauly from the Brewers flagship station, 620 WTMJ. Matt, I appreciate the time so much.
You bet.
So I want to wrap up episode number one because I'm brand new to this game, but somebody that I've known for a long time is not brand new to this game by a long shot. He's been doing this for more than a decade. His name is Phil Cianciola. You may remember him from his days at WTMJ Radio, part of the Greenhouse with Jonathan Green, Len Casper, later Bill Michaels. But he's been recording podcasts since, 2009 is when you started, Phil?
As a matter of fact, well, let me stop before I get into that and say, what an honor, Doogie, it is to be included as, you know, a guest on your first podcast. I mean, pleased to be here.
I'm happy to have you. I've been, by the way, we can do a plug for your PhilCast as well and the Pack Yak, which I have been honored to join this year for the first time as well. So we recorded that earlier today. And I have a lot of fun with that, and so I thought I would bring you on as kind of, I don't know if you consider yourself a pioneer in the podcasting game, but I kind of do, and that's why I've been bugging you for different nuggets of advice over the last couple of weeks as well. So I'm thrilled that you have the time to come on today.
Yeah, and glad to have you on Pack Yak with me every Monday. You're undefeated, so I should have done this years ago.
As a matter of fact, I started the PhilCast in the fall of, we're coming up on our 11th year anniversary, October 15th. And I know that because I did my first show from my home studio in Wauwatosa, I did on my wife's birthday. So I would always remember October 15th, Sandy's birthday, and when it all began. Because, you know, when you start something, you don't know how big it's going to be or how long it's going to last. But what if it's kind of big, and what if it lasts kind of long and becomes a big part of your life, I'm thinking. And so I thought, this is how I'll remember. Man, it was 2009, October 15th, and I first did a PhilCast show. And that's where it all started, as a podcast, yeah.
So what am I getting myself into? I mean, you do one every day. I'm not going to do one every day, but a couple of times a week is what I've committed to at this point. But you do one every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have anything else to do. I'm getting old. And, you know as well as I do, as a lifelong radio guy, right? You build a relationship with your listeners. And this is something you do that is not a job. I would go beyond, it's not even a career, the good ones. And I'd put you in that category. It's your life. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
You're always thinking
100%.
About the show, right?
Absolutely.
And you don't just stop doing that. And that's how the PhilCast started. I thought, you know, okay, I'm not on the radio right now. I'm in between gigs. I'm going to just do a radio show the way I would do a radio show if I didn't, you know, have the constraints of commercial radio. And that's what the PhilCast was, how it started. And that's what it is now. And so I'm trying to say, Doug, you can take the guy off the radio, but you can't take the radio out of the guy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So this is your, you know, what you're getting into is I'm going to invite you into a world of creativity, a world of fun, you know, a world where you hold the reins, do it your way, do it the way you want to do it. Go way outside the box. Hell, go out the triangle. Go out the octagon. And, you know, it's kind of the Wild West still. Even though I've been doing it for 11 years now, it's still kind of the Wild West. But here's the advantage you have. You're a broadcaster and a journalist, a sportscaster at heart. There's a big difference here between 2009 and where we're at right now in 2020. In 2009, Doug, nobody knew what the hell a podcast was. Okay? It's like, you're doing a what? What is that? The big difference now is everybody knows what a podcast is. It's incredibly popular, and it seems like everybody has a podcast. The advantage guys like you have and I have
is as journalists and broadcasters, there's a big difference between some guy sitting in his basement of his mom's house talking into his laptop and calling that a podcast, and a broadcaster with a cornucopia of radio experience doing a podcast as a show. That's your advantage. You know, that's, it's really neat to be able to bring that to people.
When you were starting out, I mean, how many podcasts were there? You said that nobody knew what a podcast was. I don't know that I knew what a podcast was. I'd have to go back and think of, you know, where I even was in life in 2009. But, I mean, were there any examples that you looked to when you were beginning your show?
There weren't many. And I'll give you an exact example. One of the guys that, you know, I listened to for a long time out of Chicago radio, Steve Dahl. Steve had just been fired from the station he was working at in Chicago about 1 month prior to when I was fired. And I picked up on him doing a Dahl cast, and it was damn funny because it's Steve Dahl without the constraints of radio. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm looking for another radio gig. What am I going to do? And I'm hearing him. He's got this cool studio set up. He's talking to people. He's having a good time. He's getting some sponsors. So he's making some money on this thing. And I think, I could do that. That's what I'm going to do. So I totally copied Steve Dahl and his Dahl cast. That's how I came up with the PhilCast.
Phil Cianciola joining us here. Now, I don't have a PhilCast. I don't have a Dahlcast or anything like that. I have aptly named my podcast the Doug Russell Podcast.
Well, that's better than the Steve Jones Podcast.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, as I used to like to say, because there have been different iterations of the Doug Russell Show on terrestrial radio, and my standard answer was when they were looking for someone to host the Doug Russell Show, it is fortuitous that I had that name. I was looking for somebody to host the Doug Russell Podcast, so here we are.
So there you are, yeah.
Finally, just to wrap things up, tell my listeners, I hope I have a few, at least on episode one, where they can find you. I love your show. I think you do a great job with it, and it's fun being on Pack Yak on Mondays as well. But I try to give everybody a chance to give themselves a plug, so plug away.
The simplest thing is, if you want to just Google the PhilCast podcast, it will come up there, and you'll see all about it. I'll give you the address. This particular podcast is posted through a third party. It's called Patreon, and it is not a subscription podcast, but it's not all free either. It's a hybrid. So you go to patreon.com/philcast. patreon.com/philcast. And that's the home of the show. Mondays are always free. And if you're a patron of the show, by making a voluntary donation, you sign up to make a donation once a month. That gets you access to all 5 days a week of content. And then there are different levels for exclusive content as well. But it's as simple as you can Google the PhilCast podcast or patreon.com/PhilCast.
Phil, I appreciate the time as always, and we'll look forward to going 4-0. Well, they got the Falcons coming up on Monday night, and are inventing new ways to lose football games. So hopefully we'll be 4-0 the next time that we speak. I believe it'll be on Tuesday on the Pack Yak over on the PhilCast. But thanks for joining me on episode number one of the Doug Russell Podcast. And hopefully I'll have a run that's at least half as successful as yours has been.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you having me on the show. And I would leave you with one bit of advice. Don't worry about if there are people listening or not. There are people listening. You may not know it. And I'll tell you the difference between radio and podcasting also, as you get into these muddy waters, Doug, it's an incredibly loyal audience. They are seeking you out. They are listening when they want to listen, and they will help you do great things.
I appreciate that. Phil, great stuff, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, there he goes, Phil Cianciola. And that'll do it for episode number one of the Doug Russell Podcast. Thank you so much for checking us out, downloading, listening. Feel free to tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your neighbor's friends, and hopefully, as Phil said, we can grow this thing. So we will talk to you on Wednesday. It will be a free-for-all Wednesday. We're going to look back in time. Bucks Media Day. Remember the Bucks season that just concluded? Yeah, their Media Day for this season that's still going on now that the NBA Finals are set between the Lakers and the Miami Heat. That was a year ago on Wednesday. We will look back at what we got right and what we got wrong. Also, what we got right and what we got wrong from this past week in the NFL. That's coming up on Wednesday as well, and we'll have a new sports-centric show coming up on Friday. We'll look back at the Brewers. Hopefully, they'll still be alive in the Major League playoffs as they take on the Los Angeles Dodgers starting on Wednesday. Nevertheless, we'll talk about that coming up on Friday's show as well. Have a great week, and as always, you can feel free to email the show at DougRussellPod@gmail.com, and also our Twitter handle is DougRussellPod on Twitter as well. You can hit me up personally on Twitter at Doug Russell as well. So episode number one is in the books. We will see you on Wednesday. We'll see you on Friday. Have a great week.